Welcome to episode 18 of the Decatur Dish. What an honor it is to join you all every Tuesday to talk about what's been happening in DeKalb County. My name is Maria Moreau, joined by Decaturish founder and publisher Dan Wisenhunt. Dan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Maria. How are you?
I'm fantastic. We have a lot to talk about. And if you're joining us on YouTube Live, you already got a bit of a preview with the title of today's episode, which is What's So Special About DeKalb's May 21st election. We're going to get into that. But before we do, some updates out of DeKalb County, starting all the way in Avondale Estates. There is a new sanitation waste project that is going to help a lot of residents in a big way. And it, as you described it, Dan, this was a necessary step. So let's talk about it.
Sure. So Avondale Estates has a small public works department because it's a small city. It's always sort of been that way. And the public works department has provided sanitation services for residents. But the problem of late has been the number of call-outs that the sanitation department has had because Avondale Estates has taken on some other projects like the town green. So they need public works employees to monitor that as well. And so the public works department has had the highest number of call-outs, I think, of any department in the city. It was something like 50 hours worth of call-outs a month. And so a couple of years ago, Avondale Estates decided to explore the possibility of outsourcing this to a private company, which is a big deal because one thing Avondale Estates did that cities typically do not do is they did sort of backdoor collection service where the public works employee would go up to your house rather than collecting the can at the curb and bring the can to the truck. And it just wasn't a very cost-effective way to provide that service. There were also unfortunate incidents regarding interactions between the customers and the sanitation workers and like their dogs and the sanitation workers. So the city was, I want to get this right, the city was providing this at a cost of $596 per household per year. It wasn't even covering the cost of running that service. They are potentially looking at doing $700 approximately per household per year. But they found a private contractor, Arrow, who's going to bring the service in at a budget at a cost of $300 something per year. They are going to lose some employees as a result. They're not going to be able to retain some employees, so there will be layoffs. Those employees will have an opportunity to work for Arrow if they so choose. So it's kind of another Avondale Estates is growing up a little bit moment. They realized it's not very cost effective for them to provide this service on their own, and that it's more cost effective to do that with a contractor. So they executed that contract, and that is what they're doing in Avondale Estates.
Now, for Avondale Estates residents, is this a welcomed change, an improvement for them?
I think some residents will be indifferent to it. I think some residents are going to miss the backdoor collection, but they will, I believe, come up to your house if you're elderly or disabled. So for the people that need it, that service will still be there. Things change. It's very inefficient for a city the size of Avondale Estates, or any city really, to provide service at that level, and they found a more efficient way to provide it. I don't know if it will be welcomed initially. It might be welcomed when they see their tax bill, though, so we will see.
And if you're a resident, you can find more information about this on Decaturish.com and AtlantaNewsFirst.com. I want to talk about some big changes coming to DeKalb County schools, millions of dollars being approved for, let's be honest, much needed upgrades to various schools throughout the county. This has been a long conversation and highly discussed among leaders, county leaders, city leaders. But now we are hopefully starting to see some movement with those upgrades possibly coming to schools that are going to need it the most. Any thoughts, Dan?
Oh, I thought you were going to the
you
report
are,
package.
All right.
No. So DeKalb County maintenance, schools maintenance, has been a hot button topic for a long time. It got really difficult during COVID, particularly because they were getting all of this federal money to upgrade the schools, do HVAC upgrades, but they didn't necessarily have access to a ready supply of workers. There was an increase in construction costs during COVID, and it created this giant backlog of projects, including at places like Druid Hills High School. So a lot of what you're going to see them tackle is stuff that's been on the list. You know, my school that we go to, their roof has been on that list for a long time, and it's finally starting to get addressed. So it's necessary work. It's work that, for whatever reason, hasn't been done in as timely a fashion as it could have. And now they're having to do a whole lot of work at once. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, and our reporter Rachel Aragon went down to DeKalb County to talk to school district leadership to about these changes and those upgrades that really could make such a difference for not only the staff at these schools, but also the young learners and the next generation.
Yeah, for a while now, we've been reporting on clearly the need for some upgrades in some school buildings, but the school district tells me they're on top of it, and they say they have the money for improvements.
Really, it is in support of our priorities, which is safe, dry, and warm.
About a dozen schools across DeKalb County could see money going towards building improvements to keep students safe and healthy throughout the school year.
With HVAC, those investments go one step further because as our systems are aging, they're being replaced with newer, efficient models with higher filtration systems.
The district's chief operations officer says the school board is considering authorizing millions of dollars for things like roofing and HVAC replacement and upgrades.
When children and staff are in a safe environment, that's also a dry environment, but also very comfortable, and by that we mean by cool or, you know, warm during those seasons, they learn better. All right, so that's part of our support.
It's all part of an effort to improve school conditions and address aging infrastructure. In 2022, the board approved Druid Hills High School to be a part of a $50 million modernization plan after students released a video alleging serious electrical and water issues.
So last summer, the board had approved an award to an architectural firm to go and begin doing a study on the campus, which is part of the assessment for modernization. We're currently waiting on all those final documents.
The district says money to modernize Druid Hills and upgrade other schools coming in part from a special sales tax approved by voters in 2021 that's estimated to bring in $700 million over 5 years.
And again, we thank the community for supporting that because that allows us to go ahead and do these capital improvement projects.
So now looking at which schools should be at the top of the list for those improvements and those upgrades, any particular schools that are currently being talked about?
I have the list. Roof replacements are going to be at Kittredge Magnet, McClendon Elementary School, Ronald McNair High School, Oakview Elementary School, Lithonia High, Jolly Elementary School, and Martin Luther King High School. There are going to be some Havoc repair projects at Bob Mathis, Chapel Hill, and E.L. Bowie Elementary School. And that just kind of goes to show you what a huge backlog of maintenance needs there are across at schools across the district. That list runs the gamut north to south, east to west. And it's just stuff that, frankly, should have been done already and is hopefully going to get done as soon as possible.
I'm sure these schools appreciate this funding and this attention that's so needed, as you said. All right, we got to talk about special elections. A lot of changes this year for DeKalb County, especially after two county commissioners plan to vacate their seats or have already vacated. You tell me, Dan.
They're gone
at this point because they are turning their eyes to the county CEO spot. You might all know Michael Thurmond very well, but come 2024, we will have a new name for DeKalb County CEO. So let's talk about that special election and why it matters so much.
So the DeKalb County CEO election is going to be decided in the Democratic primary, which is going to be May 21st. The candidates are, in no particular order, Lorraine Cochran Johnson, Steve Bradshaw, and Larry Johnson. When Lorraine Cochran Johnson and Larry Johnson qualified, because of state law, due to the amount of time that was left in their term, they had to vacate their seats. So those seats, Super District 7 and I believe District 3, are now empty. They don't have commission representation. However, the same law also allowed Commissioner Steve Bradshaw to keep his seat while he's running for office. It would not be DeKalb County if there were not some weird circumstance attached to all of it. That's just the way we roll around DeKalb. But the gist of it is there's going to be a long period where there are going to be two county commission seats vacant. We don't know to what extent that's going to affect how votes happen on the commission. We don't know to what extent that's going to affect how certain projects get done. I mean, it's election year anyway, so it's possible that some things are going to be on hold just for that alone. We don't know what's going to happen to the staffers in that particular office. Yeah, every commission office in DeKalb County has a staff. We don't really know what's going to happen. The other interesting thing is that even though typically those elections would be handled under a primary system, so it would be a Democratic ballot and a Republican ballot. Again, weird quirk of the law. This is going to be a special election, and it's basically going to be nonpartisan, although the candidates can list their party affiliation if they choose. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be, there's not going to be a primary. It's going to be sort of a winner-take-all thing for those seats. So it'll be interesting to see who runs. I think the background of who runs is going to get a lot more scrutiny because there's not going to be a party affiliation required to run. That's kind of what's going on, and we're going to talk to those candidates tomorrow. We're taping a forum with the three DeKalb County CEO candidates tomorrow at a forum we're producing with Atlanta News First. But yeah, DeKalb County is going to be short some commissioners for most of the year. So they had an elections board meeting yesterday, and they had the option of calling the special election on May 21st, but I guess they decided that wasn't logistically feasible. So they're going to have that election in November with the presidential election. So the long and short of it is those seats are going to be vacant for a while, and that is just the way the law is written. It probably did not contemplate three county commissioners running for CEO at the same time. Could make an argument for revisiting that law to ensure that there's representation, because it matters. If you live in those districts, it definitely matters if you have a commissioner up there looking out for your interest. No fault for anyone who chose to run. Obviously, people have their own political ambitions, and they got to do what they got to do. But the way it's all structured has created this sort of weird limbo for representation on the county commission. So I did not expect when this year started to have to be voting for two or three or four different commission seats, and I have to cover those races, I should say. But here we are. That's DeKalb for you. So we're going to have a busy November, busier November than I anticipated, honestly, because of we're going to have at least two county commission seats on that ballot. They're going to have to be filled in that election.
Well, hey, this is a big opportunity for those candidates and a consequential race that the DeKalb County citizens, we want to make sure that you are ready and informed in your vote. So as Dan mentioned, we are hosting a forum with these candidates so you can get to know them yourself. We hope you'll tune in with us March 27th at 7:30 p.m. That's the date you're going to want to save on Atlanta News First Plus. So if you're watching right here, you're going to want to come back here on March 27th at 7:30 p.m. Dan Wisenhunt, our political reporter, Doug Reardon, and of course, our other moderator joining us for this will be Dan. You actually spoke
Rashida,
to the women's
Rashida
voters
Hassan
of DeKalb
with,
County.
Yes. Georgia League of Women Voters. Yeah.
So we have three fantastic moderators, three candidates that are passionate about DeKalb County and really will be sharing their thoughts for the future of this great county. And we will bring that to you on March 27th at 7:30 p.m. and hopefully answer some of the questions
you
have as a voter.
Part.
Oh, am I leaving
out
the best part?
We're going to be taping it
we
at
are.
The Assembly.
We are. And it is going to be the biggest surprise of it all at Assembly Atlanta, our state-of-the-art studio owned by Great Television that is transforming the film industry here in Georgia and helping to uplift the film industry in the state. We will be bringing you out there not only to showcase this fantastic project, but also just to have you meet these candidates in such a special location that is near and dear to DeKalb County and all that it's going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be real fancy. We're going to have cameras. Everybody's going to be dressed up real nice.
Yes.
It's going to be a whole
deal. Dan's going to do his hair.
I'm going to actually do my hair for once. And it's going to be amazing. Everyone will love it. It's really a great opportunity. You're not going to find this anywhere else. There are local forums here and there for the CEO candidates, but as far as I know, we're the only news organization, plural news organizations, that are actually committing this level of resources to do a forum that's about a really important election. The CEO is the most powerful position in DeKalb County. He or she has direct effect over your day-to-day life, and it's important that voters get plugged in and pay attention to what these candidates have to say. We got a great list of questions. Our readers, Decaturish readers, have supplied a lot of those questions. We hear you. We're going to put those questions on our list and ask them. And if we don't ask them there, we'll try to put them on our Q&As that we're going to publish later. So I would encourage all of you to download the Atlanta News First Plus app on your phone, on Roku TV, and stay tuned for that forum, because it is going to be a really impressive thing, and we're all really excited about it.
And you get to see more of Dan, and who doesn't love that?
And you get to see Rashida and Doug, too.
Rashida and Doug and all
nice
the wonderful people making this happen.
We all think intelligent thoughts. We all will ask intelligent questions. It's going to be a great time.
Well, hey, we like to do something on the Decatur Dish where we put a spotlight on the community and highlight a community member that is doing great things or being recognized for doing great things. And this one is something special, truly. The Decatur School Board... A member on the board, a local activist as well, Jaina Johnson Davis, and her husband, who is an activist as well as an attorney, Mally Davis, well, they received the 2024 Community Impact Award from Gideon's Promise on March 14th for all of their contributions to the county, and you're taking a look at them on your screen right here. This was a fantastic story the Decaturish shared, and I love moments like these when we're able to get together and just celebrate amazing people doing amazing things.
I would like to talk about Mally and Jaina for a moment. They're married. Mally is a local activist, attorney, does a lot of civil rights work. Jaina Johnson Davis is a former teacher at what is now Beacon Hill Middle School, used to be called Renfro Middle School. And Mally and Jaina have really been at the forefront, and both in front of the scenes and behind the scenes, and pushing Decatur to have a more honest accounting of both its past and its future. And I want to, without delving too much into a tangent, Decatur's did a really big investigation of city schools of Decatur a few years ago. And the schools in Decatur are the sacred cow. Nobody wants to hear anything bad about the schools. Nobody wants to say anything negative about the schools. And so a lot of the civic and elected leadership of Decatur didn't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. There was stuff going on right in front of them that, frankly, mayor did a public response, and they didn't want to touch it. The first people who stood up and said, this is a problem, was Mally Davis, who had founded the Beacon Hill Black Alliance for Human Rights, and he was supported by Jaina. And they took a political risk by doing that, because the culture of Decatur is very tends to be a club, sort of circle the wagons, and they really did something that I thought was particularly brave. It's also sad in a way, because it fell upon the Black community to address a problem that really should have been addressed by the leadership well before. But it just kind of speaks to the kind of integrity that they both have as individuals and as people. They're very thoughtful people, very intelligent people, and they have done a lot. You know, they're a big part of the reason there's no longer a Confederate monument in downtown Decatur. They're a big part of the reason there's a lot of focus and discussion on equity, both in city schools of Decatur and the city of Decatur. So it's really hard to overstate how much these two individuals have pushed the needle on progress in the city of Decatur. And so this award is certainly they deserve that award for the work that they do. But I wanted to just take a moment and educate viewers about the other work that they're doing in Decatur too. A lot of the changes that you have seen in the name of progress in Decatur happened because of these two individuals. Obviously, they had a lot of people working with them as well, but they have been at the forefront of that. So really cool. Well, congrats to them. We continue to work with them. They don't always agree with what we write, but that's okay. That's part of a healthy relationship between the press and the government that they cover. So
absolutely. Well, hey, thank you so much for joining us for our weekly get-together. We dish out all of the DeKalb County news headlines that we've been following. The news never stops, and our work doesn't either. So, Dan, where can people connect with Decaturish?
Well, Decaturish.com is the main website. LocallySourcedNews.com is where you can go get the email. SupportYourLocalNews.com is where you can become a paying subscriber. Also want to add DecaturishVotes.com. I don't think any other media organization in DeKalb County is going to be covering local elections as comprehensively as we are. We're going to do candidate Q&As. We're going to let them submit letters to the editor. We're going to have our own forums. We're going to cover other people's forums. We're going to do this CEO forum with Atlanta News First. We're providing a lot of ways for you to gather information about these candidates so you can make an informed choice this election season. So again, DecaturishVotes.com is where you're going to want to go to get our voter's guide and all of our elections coverage. Zoe Seiler, our new assistant editor, former reporter Zoe Seiler, she got a promotion because she's awesome, is the spearheading all of our elections work, and she's doing a great job with it. She's helping us stay organized. It's a really complicated undertaking to cover all of these different races at once, and a lot of websites, as a result, don't even bother with it. But we feel it's very important to give people information about the people they're voting for, so you're not just looking at a ballot going, who the heck are these people? You'll actually know something.
Check.
Right, exactly. You'll actually know something, and you'll be able to make an informed choice on election day. And so with that, please download the Atlanta News First app as well. Support our media partners at Atlanta News First. And that's all I've got, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
We will see you next Tuesday at 12:30 right here on Atlanta News First Plus. Make it a great day. Download the Atlanta News First app, and we'll keep you updated on all that's happening in here in Metro Atlanta and beyond. Have a good one.